Hey guys, it's good to talk to you again. We're honored and humbled that you tune into this podcast message each week, and just thankful for each and every one of you. You mean so much to us, and I've been praying for you daily, and I know you've been praying for us. I wanted to talk to you tonight a little bit about a subject that comes from the book of Joshua. Actually, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Joshua 14, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. Now, most of you are familiar with this story. God gave the people of Israel a promised land. And Joshua and Caleb went in to spy with 10 others to spy the land out. And Caleb came back talking and proclaiming in faith, "Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." And I want you to see a little bit here. Let me just read in verse 8, the last part, where it says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Wholly. And then verse 9, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here am I this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for both going in and for coming out. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord did." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb. And it's a wonderful story, and you can read the rest of it when you have time. But here was a man of character. He wholly followed the Lord, not partially, but wholly. Now, there's something in here I want you to see over and over again in this passage I just read. In verse 10, it says, "And the Lord spoke this word." And then later on in verse 10, "And the Lord spoke this word." And then in verse 12, it says, "The Lord spoke in that day," twice. What do you see here? Over and over again, "The Lord said," "The Lord spoke," "The Lord said." You know, people think of Caleb as a man of great confidence and so forth, but do you know where Caleb's confidence was? Caleb's confidence was in the Word of God. Caleb's battle axe was the Word of God. Caleb had a mountain he needed to conquer. Do you? Do you, my friend? Well, God had already given him the mountain. He'd promised it to him. And as he went up this mountain with the sword in his hand, he also had the title deed in his pocket. God had already given it to him. The Lord had promised it to him. And his confidence came out of the Word of God. Listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The book of Hebrews says, "We may boldly say, because the Lord has said." My friend, you need to take God's Word. As a matter of fact, you better take God's Word and soak your soul in it. Saturate your mind and heart with God's Word. Hide God's Word in your heart. God has said. Do you know what God has said in the Bible? Do you know the great, eternal, rock-ribbed prayers of the promises of this book? Do you know what made Caleb such a great man? Caleb believed the Word of God. And you know why Caleb believed the word of God? Because his heart was pure. Listen to me, a pure heart is the fertile soil upon which the seed of God's word can find root. The reason the word of God doesn't mean much to some people, the reason some people can sit in a church their whole lives while the word is being preached and it rolls off their back like water off a duck's back, because they're out there trying to figure out a business deal or trying to figure out what they're going to cook for lunch or dinner, and their mind is 1,000 miles away. They're not hungry for God. They don't want God. They don't want to hear the word of God. But Caleb was a man whose heart was 100% out for God. He wholly, totally followed the Lord. And therefore the word found lodging in his heart. Caleb had a faith in God. A God that we need. A faith in a God that we need today to conquer. Caleb had such confidence, but he also had courage. Caleb's confidence in the word and in God led to his courage. Do you need courage today? I want to tell you, you'll never be bold. You'll never be as courageous as you need to be until you have a pure heart and you've hidden the word of God in your heart. And when you do that, you will have courage. Because you see, before Caleb could take that mountain that God had already promised to him, and it was a glorious mountain, Hebron was the richest place. When the spies came back, they reported that they saw grapes being carried that were so large. They saw milk and honey. Nothing great is ever done in a rocking chair. If you're looking for a cheap way, an easy way, a lazy way to be victorious in Christ, you can forget about it. Caleb had to have courage, and he had to have confidence, and he had opposition to overcome. Now listen carefully to me. I want you to know, the door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. And God has planned it that way. Even the Apostle Paul said, there is a great effectual door opened upon us, but there are many adversaries. And in this passage, you notice some of Caleb's adversaries he had to overcome with courage. First of all, he had to overcome the grasshoppers. You read about that back in verse 7 and verse 8. How did he do that? And then there were 10 other giants. And when they came back from the promised land, the spy team, those who were not full of confidence said, we were in their sight, talking about the Anakins, the giants in that land. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. You see, Caleb's friends had a grasshopper complex. You know what's wrong with so many people today? What's wrong with some of you? You've got a grasshopper complex. What are you thinking while I'm preaching and talking to you? You're thinking, well, I don't see how grasshoppers can be related to me. If you're thinking that way, you are like a grasshopper. And then the other thing is there were so many giants in that land. Nobody could ever live there. Do you know before a person, before a church, before you can do anything good or great, you have to overcome the grasshoppers. The people who sit around and say it can't be done, it shouldn't be done, it won't be done. These people are content to retreat back and live in the comparative safety of the desert waste, because there are no giants out there in the desert. There are no grasshoppers there either. And where most folks are today, and the reason most folks don't have their mountain is because they have the grasshopper complex. Thank God. Thank God Caleb didn't follow the majority. You know, in America, we have a saying, the majority rules. And I want to say to you, the majority is generally wrong. I mean, as far as society, you can find out what most people are doing and do something else, and you'll be right. By the way, one reason that grasshoppers were so hard to overcome is they were hard to get at. They were little things. You know, it's like one guy said, he said he didn't mind being swallowed by a whale, but it was hard to be stoned to death with popcorn. It's the little things that spoil it. It's the little things who say it can't be done, that say it's impossible. But Caleb overcame the grasshoppers before he overcame giants. And you have to win small spiritual victories before God allows you to face those giants. And that is the very next thing that Caleb had to overcome, were the giants. If you look in verse 12, he says here, "You heard in that day how the Anakim were there." The Anakim. What is that? That's not something you take for a headache. The Anakims were giants. There were giants in that day. And in verse 12, it says Caleb had to face these giants. Yes, there are giants in your life and in my life. But Caleb was not bothered by those giants. As a matter of fact, he was kind of excited that they were there. Caleb said in Numbers 14, the first time they went to spy out the promised land, he said, "If the Lord delight in us, he will give us this land. Fear not the people of this land, for they are bread to us." Did you hear that? They are bread, B-R-E-A-D. What is Caleb saying about those giants when he says they're bread to us? He is saying, pass the peanut butter because they're the bread. We're going to eat them alive. Fear them not. Do you know what bread is? Bread is something you eat to strengthen you, to nourish you. In other words, Caleb is saying, these giants will not be the means of our defeat. These giants will be the means of growth and nourishment. We'll feed upon them. Man, that's the way you and I ought to look at our problems, our opposition. Caleb sat down at that table and he said, pass the Anakim, please. Now think about that. You know, a mother has to tell a child, eat your spinach, it'll make you grow. Well, God has to say to you and to me, now eat your Anakim. We don't want to fight any giant, but yet it's good for you. And I'd rather not face a giant, but we will in our lifetime. And I want to tell you, my friend, listen carefully. Anakim is the breakfast of champions. Listen to me. You've been looking on how to get out of a difficulty. I don't want you to focus on that problem that you're trying not to face. Don't you know the difficulties that God allows in your life and in my life are the very things that God will use to make you strong? They're bread. sit down and gobble them up. I love what the Ephesians says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that is raised against thee is judged. Thou shalt condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Oh, if we only, and if you only really understood things, we would see our difficulties as really opportunities. And you know, that's the difference between a pessimist and an optimist. Pessimist will see difficulties in every opportunity. An optimist will see opportunities in every difficulty. You know, it's kind of like the man I heard about who went to Africa as a shoe salesman. He got there, he was discouraged. He sent a telegram to his home office telling them to send him the ticket to come back home. They asked him why. He said, nobody wears shoes in Africa. So the shoe company, a couple of months later, sent another man. They received a telegram from him. And this is what he said. Send me all the shoes you can get. I've never seen so many prospects. Oh my, aren't you glad Caleb could see from God's viewpoint? We need to start seeing things from God's viewpoint. We need to get over the grasshopper complex. Quit saying, oh, look how much bigger they are than me. Start saying, look how much smaller they are than God. You know, when you get up in an airplane and you look down as that plane is taking off and you starting to rise into the air, there may be a 6-foot man down there. But from your viewpoint, he looks like an ant. My friend, you know, we often say keep looking up. No, maybe you need to keep looking down and realize how small your problems, your opposition, your difficulty, how small they really are. Thank God for what Paul said. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen to me carefully. There is no giant of distress. There is no giant of doubt, of fear, of sin, of addiction that should not fall before a Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so sad to see God's people being defeated. I want to see God's people set free by the power of God's Word and God's Spirit and move out like a mighty army to say, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. God promised it to me. I didn't come here to be defeated. I came here to be victorious. Listen, Caleb had character. It says he wholly, 100% followed the Lord. And because Caleb had character, he had confidence. He believed the word of God. He believed the promises of God. And that confidence led to his courage. And that courage not only helped him to overcome grasshoppers, but it helped him to overcome giants, and it helped him to overcome, listen to this, gray hairs. Look in verse 14 of this passage. Excuse me, verse 10, look at it. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so it is now. In other words, he's saying, I was strong when God promised me this land, and I'm just as strong now as when I was 40. In other words, God supernaturally preserved him. He said, the Lord kept me and kept my strength and kept his promises just as he said. Well, evidently God had said to Caleb, it may be a long time, son, but you're going to get there. You'll be able to do it. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that when God makes a promise, hear me, when God makes a promise, he will give you the strength to claim it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The God who preserved the possession for that man is the same God who preserved the man for the possession. You see, God is working on both ends. Whatever it takes. God gave Caleb courage over the difficulties. And then finally, I want you to see, do you know the conquest of Caleb? The word Hebron means, it means fellowship. And Caleb was saying, I want that mountain of fellowship with God. And you know, he took the whole mountain. And you know what that stands for? The fullness of God. In other words, Caleb wanted all that God had for him. And do you know what Hebron was noted for? Fruitfulness. So what was Caleb saying? He was saying, I want to live on the mountain of fellowship and fullness and fruitfulness. My friend, listen, isn't that where you want to live? Wouldn't you like to live on the mountain of fellowship with God? Wouldn't you like for your life to be like a vineyard full of fruitfulness? Wouldn't you like the fullness of God? Wouldn't you like to completely possess your possessions? Wouldn't you love for the fruit of the Spirit to be mightily, fruitfully flowing into your life? Well, you can. And I believe it starts when we say, God, I can't, but you can. And Lord, you promised it for me. My friend, listen, there is a land of victory. There is a way to live victorious in this life. Christians ought not to be walking around defeated. We ought to be living in victory day and night. You know, there was an old song they used to sing. I can barely remember it. It was 30-something years ago. It said, I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness, I'll stay. So I'll cry, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready to vacate. For you see, I've come from out of the wilderness. I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flows, where the grapes of Eskew grow. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. You know, I just wish that every person listening to my voice today would say, I'm sick and tired of living in the valley of despair. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of not having all that God wants for me. Friends, listen to me. The days are drawing short. There are only so many days, so many weeks, so many months left to serve God. And it's time we stop just being listeners of the word and start doing it. We need to start mountain climbing. I mean, let's go for it with all we have for God. Let's possess that mountain. What would happen? What would happen? I tell you, my heart almost jumps out of my throat when I think about if the people who just listen to the Word of God every Sunday would say, I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm going to sell out to Him 100%. I want that mountain. God has promised it to me, and it belongs to me. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person who heard this message today. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would apply it to their lives. And we'll honor you and you alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening. And I pray the Word of God has touched you today. I can't wait to see you again. We're looking now at the best ways to safely transition back to meeting again, and we hope that won't be too much longer, but just keep up and we'll let you know. If you need anything in the meantime, please call me. God loves you, and so do we. Have a great week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.